Blog Talk Radio.
The following show has been rated Anything Goes. This is your warning. Now I just have one question for AJ, and that is this. Sexy porno?
Sexy cat.
Wait. We out here. It's Young Boss.
You shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is sexy, can I hit it from the front, then I hit it from the back. Know you like it like that. Then we take it to the bed, then we take it to the floor. Then we chill for a second, then we back at it more. Sexy, can I just pardon my manners. Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is
mama, it's your boy youngin'. G5 dipped in Louis Vuitton luggage. Ayy, gotta love it. Your boy so fly, and all the ladies go winning, go fly. Gucci on the feet, Marc Jacob on the thigh. She wanna ride or die with your boy in the shot. That's right. So I let her kiss the prince, her boyfriend. She ain't miss the prince.
Just pardon my manners. Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is sexy can I keep it on the low. Got a girl at the crib, we can take it to the Momo. You can bring a friend, or you can ride solo. Let me get my camera so we can take a photo. Baby, when we make love is like,
I don't know what you mean. Like,
Michelle,
all I wanna know is
sexy can I, sexy can I visit you at work? Are you sliding down the pole? No panties, no shirt. Then you climb back up the pole, then you drop and do the splits. You make that booty talk, baby, then you want some new shit. I make it rain in the club.
You don't know what you mean. Like, but baby, all I wanna know is
sexy can I, just pardon my manners. How you shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera.
You know what it is,
I wanna know,
hey, she has to turn with who your boy's hitting or who raised Nellin. So when I give it to her, I know that she ain't telling. See, I'm a go-getter, and she a go-getter. You already know she is. Can I send for you red eye? Fresh out the pool, no towel, let it air dry. And if you ain't tonight, then you can watch the tour bus go by.
Sexy can I, just pardon my manners. Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is sexy can I, hit it from the front, then I hit it from the back. Know you like it like that. Then we take it to the bed, then we take it to the floor. For a second, then we back at it some more. Oh, sexy can I, just pardon my manners. Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a light. It's a Kodak moment, then you go and get my camera. I wanna know, I just wanna have some fun.
You know I wanna have some too.
Can I just have some fun?
We about to turn the mansion now, and we can do it with the cameras out.
Hello, beautiful people. We are back on the air. Obviously, the most adorable, wonderful person in the whole universe, me, is hosting our radio show today. And with my extremely handsome, sexy, adorable man. Well, I would be, but Neo is not here tonight. What? Don't shake your head at me like that. What?
Mm-hmm.
But you're thinking how evil I am, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's so mean. I don't have an evil bone in my body. Why aren't you commenting? Well, you're afraid that lightning's going to strike you from the clouds, aren't you? That you're going to combust.
No, it's just I'm just listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Anywho, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. It's the last week before the kids go back to school. It really is. It's a wonderful experience. And all I can say in regards to that, I'm just trying to find it, is the kids go back to school Tuesday. now have to get up at like 5:30 every morning.
Oh, you have to get them up.
Yeah. Well, but saying that, we haven't really had Robert around much for the past few weeks because of football training.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I miss him so much. It's so hard for me not having him around. And I know he's got to get this football training and everything done, and which reminds me, his very first match is tomorrow, which I am super, super excited about. I cannot even put into words how much I'm looking forward to seeing my son.
You don't need a main one, Shanna.
Oh, my God, I'm going to have a sore throat. I'm not going to be able to speak or nothing come tomorrow night. But, you know, to me, it's just awesome. This is my son's dream. He wanted to play football for his school since middle school. And sadly, we haven't been able to afford it because of the sheer expense of the cost, because it was like $200 and something, weren't it, to sign him up for football. But it's awesome that he's actually doing football this year. I am so proud of him. It's super exciting for me. I know he's really happy as well. He goes into being a freshman. Can you believe our little boy is a freshman in high school? Remember that little boy came up to you the first time you met him around Halloween? Excuse me, would you like some of my Halloween candy? Little 7-year-old. And now he's like, you're AJ. You want a Reese's? I got Reese's in my candy. And that's the truth of it. He's just, wow, my son's just grown so much. This adorable little boy who, I mean, he's always going to be my little boy. That's my baby right there. And it's such a blessing watching him grow, but it's kind of sentimental as well because he's nearly a grown-up. I've got 4 years left of him being a child before he hits 18. And judging by how quick these last 14 years have gone, it's going by so quick. But every moment I cherish, and Robert makes fun of me because I like snap photos like they're going out of style. But it's like I want to treasure every moment and to be able to look back and be like, oh my gosh, look at this, remember this, remember that. I am so tired, everybody. You have to excuse me if I yawn halfway through this. But, you know, seeing all of his trials and tribulations and girlfriends. He's got another girlfriend. Oh, my God. I've met her, and she is really nice. I don't think she's very quiet and shy and that lot. But why is he having girlfriends? This should not be allowed. I said no girlfriends until he's 30. He's got 16 years until he's allowed a girlfriend, as far as I'm concerned. But it's just, to me, it's insane that you know what I'm saying. It's just the fact these years have gone by so quick.
He's grown up real fast, you're saying.
Yeah. And I'm holding on to him. I'm trying.
You
shouldn't. No, but I need to have some time with him. I need to have some moments with him. You know, that's my boy.
Like, what type of moments?
Like, tomorrow night, we got the football moments.
Okay.
You know, those type of things. Memories that are about. But, oh, dear. So, I have to sing this because I can't say it without it coming across as a song. But my friend Cara put up this post.
Mm-hmm.
Now, try saying this. When you know that it's...
Oh, God.
See what I mean?
The creepy and the kooky,
mysterious and spooky, they're all together, kooky, my Facebook family. Do-do-do-do. 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 Do-do-do-do.
Ooh. And the cheese fell.
Our trelly is a muffin. Hazel likes to put the stuff in. I finished singing this song cause I am it crazy. Do 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 do. But yeah. So I just put, my friend posted that up, by the way, and I said, thank goodness I'm normal. Do you know she had the nerve to put this in return? Hazel, I have never heard anyone use the word normal after the word Hazel. I'm sorry, but I'm really insulted. What part of me is crazy and insane?
All the above.
No, you tell me. What part of me is crazy?
All the above.
No, you don't just say all of the above. You have to come out and say a specific thing about me that's crazy. You've got nothing. See, because I'm perfectly normal.
No, you're not normal.
Then what part of me is crazy?
Talk about unicorns and rainbows and all that stuff.
Unicorns are real. They're sat over there in a flower pot. Rainbows are pretty. They come out after storms. Now, what else you got? Come on. What else? You got nothing, because I'm normal.
No, I just can't think of anything at the moment.
Yeah, because I'm normal, so you've got nothing. See, this proves a man who actually lives with me can come up with no reason for why people think I'm crazy, hence me being normal. And I even looking at the message that Cora's just sent me, because you know she's going to be saying some crazy crap right there.
Go ahead and read it.
Oh, God. But how could she, if she just says I'm crazy, yeah, see, Cora is normal as well. Thank you. Me and Cora are normal. Don't you be raising your eyebrows and shaking your head at me.
I'm shaking my head. I ain't raising my eyebrows.
You just did just then. People thinking we're crazy. Good grief.
Everybody's crazy in their own way.
Not me. I'm normal. I think we need to play another song. I think it's a good thing to do. So let me find one. Let's find a really good song that just annoys the crap out of everybody. Because I like annoying people. Apparently I'm good at that. So let's see. What song do you think would really annoy people?
I don't know.
We haven't really got anything annoying on it.
No.
I have to find something. I'm going to have to find that clip from Dumb and Dumber where it said, what's the most annoying sound in the world? Yeah, we have to do that. But let's have this, because I asked you earlier if sexy can I, and you said yes, so... Oh, I only have two words for you. Locked over to me.
Jason. Jason.
Get jazzy on. I'm that flight that you get on. International. First class seat on my lap, girl. Riding comfortable. Cause I know what that girl them need. New York to Haiti. Got lipstick stamps on my passport. You make it hard to leave. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me. You talk dirty to me. Jazzy on it.
You know the words in my song. No habla English. Our conversations ain't long, but you know what is. I know what that girl them want. London to Taiwan. I got this 6 cents on my passport. I think I need a new one.
Been around the world, don't speak the language, but your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me.
Oh, yeah.
is close to genius. Sold out arenas, you can suck my penis. Give it arenas, guns on deck. Chest to chest, tongue on neck. International oral sex. Every picture I take, I pose a threat. Fold and jet, what you expect? Her pussy so good, I bought her a pet. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty.
Been around the world, don't speak the language, but your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me.
Give love, give love, give love, give love.
Okay, my little precious flower pops. We are going to read something. I've read this before, but I always think that we need a really good laugh on Hazel Runs Her Mouth. So this I've read 100 times, and it's a review on Amazon for Veet Hair Remover. So this is it, and I'm sorry, but I'm only going to probably be able to get halfway through before I start laughing too hard and tears run down my face. But I think we all need a really, really good gut laugh. So here we go. After having been told my danglers looked like an elderly Rastafarian, I decided to take the plunge and buy some of what of this as previous shaving attempts have been mildly successful, and I nearly put my back out trying to reach the more difficult bits. Being a bit of a romantic, I thought it would be a good deed on the missus' birthday as a bit of a treat. I ordered it well in advance, and working in the North Sea, I considered myself a bit above some of the characters writing previous previews and wrote them off as soft office type. Oh, my fellow sufferers, how wrong I was. I waited until the other half was tucked up in bed, and after giving some vague hints about a special surprise, I went to the bathroom. Initially, all went well, and I applied the gel and stood waiting for something fast to happen. I didn't have long to wait. At first, there was a gentle warmth, which in a matter of seconds was replaced by intense burning and a feeling I can only describe as being given a barbed wire wedgie by two people intent on hitting the ceiling with my head. Religion hadn't featured much in my life until that night, but I suddenly became willing to convert to any religion to stop the violin burning around the turd tunnel and what seemed like the destruction of the meat and two veg. Struggling to not bite through my bottom lip, I tried to wash the gel off in the sink and only succeeded in blocking the plug hole with a mat of hair. Through the haze of tears, I struggled out of the bathroom, across the hall into the kitchen. By this time, walking was not really possible, and I crawled the final yard to the fridge in the hope to find some form of cold relief. I yanked the freezer drawer out, I found a tub of ice cream, tore the lid off and positioned it under me. The relief was fantastic, but only temporary as it melted fairly quickly, and the fiery stabbing soon returned. Due to the shape of the ice cream tub, I hadn't managed to give the starfish any treatment, and I groped around in the drawer for something else, as I was sure my vision was going to fail fairly soon. I grabbed a bag of what I later found out to be frozen sprouts, and tore it open, trying to be quiet as I did. I took a handful of them and tried in vain to clench them in between the cheeks of my ass. This was not doing the trick, as some of the gel had found its way up the Chutney Channel, and it felt like the Space Channel was rubbing its edges behind me. This was probably and hopefully the only time in my life I was going to wish there was a gay snowman in the kitchen. Which should give you some idea of the depths I was willing to sink in order to get some pain relief. The only solution my pain-crazed mind could come up with was to gently ease one of the sprouts where no veg had gone before. Unfortunately, arse in the air, strawberry ice cream dripping from my belly, pushing a sprout up my ass while muttering, "Oh, that feels good." Understandably, this was a shock to the wife as she let out a scream, and as I hadn't heard her come in, it caused an involuntary spasm of shock in myself, which resulted in the sprout being injected at quite some speed in her direction. I can understand that having a sprout farted at your leg at 11 at night in the kitchen probably wasn't a special surprise. She was expecting and having to explain to the kids the next day the strange hollow in the ice was improve my status. So I sum it up that meat removes hair, dignity, and self-respect. Now, I can honestly say I can sympathize with this gentleman, and I will tell you people why. About 2 years ago, I ran to the dollar store. This was when we were living in South Milwaukee. And it was, I wouldn't say it was a a really long walk, but it was still quite a walk from our house to there. It was a bit over a mile to the dollar store. And grabbed what I thought was shaving foam. I remember it saying on the can was silk something raspberry scented. And I'm thinking to myself, this is great. This is raspberry scented shaving foam. So I got home and, you know, going to treat AJ to a little treat as this gentleman was going to do to his wife. Went in the bathroom, had my razor ready, got the stuff, and it came out of the can like a foam. It didn't come out like that hair remover stuff. It's like thick and gunky. I slathered myself up, and within 2 minutes, an extraordinary burning sensation happened. And then what makes it worse is that I was trying to wash it off, and it got in crevices and crooks and crannies and heated up even more. And the pain, I sympathize with this man's pain, because you don't want hair remover in places that only a doctor should see. Would you want hair remover on your butthole?
I'm thinking it. I ain't saying it, but I'm thinking it.
You bend over, I'll get some hair remover and shove it through your asshole, and you come back and tell me that don't burn like a red hot poker.
I didn't say it didn't.
Oh, it's painful as anything. See, I got sweat on just thinking about it. But I'm actually going to blast somebody out there in regards to this. There was this guy, and you can find him up on Facebook. His name is Andre Berry. And he'll say on his status that he lives in Las Vegas, but he doesn't. He actually lives in Tolma, Wisconsin. Oh, my God, he looks like a little baby. So I'm looking at a picture of a friend of ours called Chris. He looks like he's about 10, and he says he was 16. But anyway, this guy called Andre, he prided himself on being completely smooth-shaven all over. His legs, his chest, his back, his head, everywhere. And he was staying at my house one night. This was before me and AJ got together, I will hasten to add. And my old apartment, I had an ensuite bathroom. I had a shower. You remember the one on 51st Street?
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking what seemed like forever in the bathroom. And in the end, I, like, knocked on the door. I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, I got a problem. I'm like, well, let me in. Let me see what the problem is. He cut his butthole shaving his ass. Well, I mean, I was in hysterics. He had cut his asshole, shaving his ass. I tell you now, I have never laughed so hard in my life.
Okay, he probably got cut from bleeding and stuff. Will he have to use a douche?
He was a douche. I don't think he had to use one. He is one. But it was hilarious. He's like, what can I do? My ass won't stop bleeding. And he's got, like, I had a big pot of Vaseline. And he's got, like, tons of Vaseline, and he's slathering it up his ass and on his ass crack, hoping it would stop the bleeding. I was like, that's not going to do it. So I told him, go in the shower, get the Vaseline cleaned off of you and everything. And I've got some stuff that I'll put on there. You ever heard of liquid Band-Aid?
Heard of it.
Do you know how much it stings?
Nope.
Okay. You know how much it hurts when you put rubbing alcohol on an open cut?
Yeah, it stings.
Well, that's basically what liquid Band-Aid does to a cut, but then it seals it. So I had this nice little thing of liquid Band-Aid. Now, we weren't using the brush on his asshole. I'm telling you that right now. I made him bend over, spread his ass cheeks, and then pour liquid Band-Aid down the crack of his ass to cover where the cuts were. But that's getting better. He screamed in pain and jumped forward. And you... He headbutted the wall, he lost his balance and went down and hit his head on the toilet and cut his eyebrow on the because he wanted a smooth, silky asshole. I have no idea to this day why he wanted a smooth, silky asshole, but he had wanted a smooth, silky asshole. And to me, it was hilarious because now he's got to go and explain to people, how did you cut your eyebrow? Okay. But now, what story do you say to someone? Yeah, well, I was in the middle of shaving my ass, and I cut my asshole up, and this chick poured liquid bandage, which stung my ass. So I fell forward, hit my head on the wall, and as I hit my head on the wall, I lost balance, slipped down, and busted my eye open on the toilet seat. That is not a story that you want to tell people. And as I say, he's on Facebook, his name's Andre Berry, and he says he's from Las Vegas on it, Nevada. Oh my God. Totally hilarious. Totally, totally hilarious.
Loser.
Oh. Too funny. I have to play songs. I need to find another story. Oh. But yeah, that was... AJ will tell you, he is a loser, and he did deserve everything he got. Oh my gosh. Let me find... Oh, where is it? I can't find the song. There we go. Because that's by The Soul Spa, we need to play this song. We'll be back in a few.
I'm
Okay, my little Fruit Loops, we are back. Now we're going to have another funny story. This is called Pocket Taser Gun, A Great Gift for the Wife. I have heard this story so many times, and it is hilarious. And I'll actually tell you a story about my brother and his homemade taser afterwards. It says, this was submitted by a guy who purchased his lovely wife a pocket taser for their anniversary. Last weekend, I saw something at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 22nd anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Tony. When I came across was a 100,000-volt pocket purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effects on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to the... I can't even speak now. To retreat to safety, not to retweet. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries into the darn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if I push the button and press it against metal surface at the same time, I'll get a blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome. I also had to explain to Tony what that burn spot on the face of her microwave was. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries in it. There I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking on intently, while I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out on flesh and blood moving target. I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie and thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat. I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger. I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose, directions in one hand, taser in the other. The direction said a 1 second burst would shock and disorientate your assailant. 2 seconds burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and a major loss of bodily control. A 3 second burst would make your assailant flop to the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting a battery. All the while I'm looking at this little device measuring about 5 inches long, less than 3/4 inches in circumference. Pretty cute really, and loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries. Thinking to myself, no way possible. What happened next is beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her head cocked to one side as if to say, don't do it, master, reasoning that a 1 second burst from such a tiny little old thing couldn't hurt all that bad. I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prongs to my naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy mother, weapons of mass destruction. I'm pretty sure Jesse Ventura ran it through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, their body slammed us both onto the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked up under my body in the honest position, and tickling in my legs. The cat was standing over me, making me meow. Like I've never heard before, licking my face and undoubtedly thinking to herself, do it again, do it again. Note to self, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution, there is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not get that thing going until it's dislodged from your head by the splash out on the floor. There is a second burst would be considered conservative. Start over, that hurt like hell. A minute or so later, I can't be sure as time was a relative thing at that point, I collected my wits, what little I had left. Sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bed reading glasses were on the mantle of the fireplace. How the hell did they get up there? My triceps, right thigh, both nipples were still twitching. My face felt like it had been shot up with Novocaine. And my bottom lip weighed 88 the story about my brother and the taser. Oh, my God. He decided that he was going to find how to make your own taser. And apparently it can be done if you get a disposable camera. You take the flash part out of it, you expose the wires, then when you hit the button to take the photo, electricity goes through. If you put it on someone, you taser them. My brother decided he was going to try this on himself. And he did try it on his leg. He didn't try it on his arm or anything. The idiot tried tasering his tongue. Are you listening or are you playing bingo?
I can hear you play
it. He decided to try it on his tongue. Now, I don't know what happened between him tasering his tongue and us getting the phone call that he was in the emergency room, but myself and my other brother and my stepmom arrived at the hospital. All we'd been told is that he'd had an accident, he had some burns to his face, but he was going to be okay. We got there, his tongue is huge, it's like big and like floppy and everything. He had burns to his lip and he had like black eyes, and we asked him what happened, and then he told us the story that he made his homemade taser, tried it out by testing it on his tongue because he didn't think it could be that powerful. The swelling on his tongue was actually on it going down because they'd given him a shot for it to reduce the swelling. The burns around his lips was from the spark. The black eyes was from the fact that he actually fell forward and hit the table and, like, knocked himself out and gave himself black eyes. Who in their right mind tasers their tongue? I'm asking you a question, Andrea. Who tasers their own tongue?
Idiots.
My brother. Yes, you're right. An idiot. But this is the guy who, and I'm not joking, my brother Steve is legendary for being a total donkey. He does the stupidest thing. When the Wii Fit came out, you remember me telling you this one. When the Wii Fit came out, he bought it for himself. Set it up and everything. Him and his friends came back drunk and decided they were going to play the Wii Fit. Now, there's a bit on there where you do the hula hoop, isn't there, AJ? Where you, like, do and then you lean to catch it, and blah, 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 leave the other side.
Right.
He leaned and fell off the Wii Fit board and broke his arm. If that's not bad enough, 3-4 days later, my stepmom asked him how he'd done it. My brother then went on to show her how he'd done it on the Wii Fit and slipped off and broke his other arm. Because he obviously has no brain. This is also the same brother who, remember I told you about AJ with the burnt testicles. Basically what happened was, we were all sitting around one evening. It was shortly before I was going to come to the US and everything. And we'd all had a few drinks, having a good laugh and the such like. And we were talking about whether or not farts were combustible. Basically knowing if you farted, could you set it on fire? So he decided to try many experiments. We had the fart in a bucket. That didn't work. You can't set light to a fart that's in a bucket. Too much space. He tried farting in an empty mayonnaise jar. That got a little bit. That got a little touch of flame, but not much. You know, it just went out as soon as it happened.
Right.
He then decided to see if he could actually light the fart from its source, which was his ass. So what he did is he rolled back, he farted, he lit it. Yes, you can light a fart, but what he also remembered as well, that the underwear that he was wearing were nylon, which is in essence plastic, that melted and melted to his nutsack and his ass. So there we are yet again, calling... In England, it's 999, to get an ambulance to take him to the hospital to have melted nylon underwear removed from his testicles. Meanwhile, my older brother, Matt, is actually pouring water, like bottles of water, over my other brother's ass and ball bag, trying to cool down the pain while my brother's laid on the floor screaming, And I'm doing that useful, helpful thing of sitting there laughing my ass off. When we actually got to the hospital, then we're back to the same thing again, explaining why this happened. I swear to you, they need to name that emergency room the Stephen Stead Experimental Repair Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Because every dumb thing you could do as a human being, my brother has done. I ain't even going to tell you about when he tried to pierce himself because he was too cheap to go get it done. Try piercing his own nipples. You can imagine how well that turned out.
Oh, God.
But anywho, on that note, we are actually going to throw on another song, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, cash money, hero, private jet, polish. Louis bags, they strapped with a priceless glow. High life, flipping and get some more. Paradise, the luxury marble flow. When I hit, hit me full of that cash. More money than I seen in the garbage can. Sun and island, money and the power. That's how we do it, make it rain, make it shower. Top flow, big time, I'm doing big things. Over city view, ball short and new range. Flip another hundred, popping throwing hundreds. In a new building, uptown summer.
To the gold line, straight out the huddle. Cash money, gold mine, we just stay loyal. Boy, we getting money like we just found oil. And that's word to my red flag. I live first and leave the bush dead last. I lay it down so hard, I got a bed rash. And I just tell them to loaf it when the bread pass. Staring at you from the top of the game, man. I might drop the world if I change hands. It feel good to be here. Weezy in the building, got this rebuilt young money.
I made it. did, yes I did.
Yahoo, and I found this story, and I've heard about this before in the past, and it's about these rocks that move in Death Valley. They have no reason...
Wait, is that Death Valley, California?
Yeah. They have no idea why these rocks were moving or how they could possibly be moving by themselves, but there were these rocks that are just, for some reason, were moving. You could see the trails of them through, like, the ground and everything. And so I found this article, and it says, the racetrack player mystery in Death Valley solved. It says, for decades, scientists have been trying to figure out how rocks moved across a dry lake bed and left trails behind. But now they know blown ice sheets cause it. So I'm going to read the whole article, because to me this is like really interesting. And it says here, the phenomenon of the sailing stones on racetrack playa in Death Valley National Park has baffled scientists for decades. By some mysterious force of nature, rocks move along the flat as a pancake playa and leave long trails behind. But what causes the stones to move? One popular theory was that a strong winter wind up to 90 miles an hour combined with just enough rain to make the clay slippery caused the stones to sail. Another is that ice sheets pick up the rocks or ice forms around the rocks, enabling it to move with the wind, leaving a series of rock trails. But now the mystery is solved. Scientists can conclusively say that these synchronized trails left by rocks, some up to 700 pounds, are caused by thin sheets of ice pushing the rocks across the desert floor under certain conditions, a theory that had been previously dismissed in 1976. The conclusion was reached by a team led by paleobiologist Richard Norris of Scripps Institution of UC San Diego, with the results being published. As part of the Slithering Stones research initiative, researchers custom-built motion-activated GPS units and fitted them to 15 rocks and placed them in the area in the winter of 2011 with permission, obviously, of the National Park Service. They expected it would take 5 to 10 years before something happened. Ralph Lorenz, one of the paper's authors, called it the most boring experiment ever. But then, in December 2013, something happened. Science sometimes has the element of luck. Only 2 years into the project, we just happened to be there at the right time to see it happen in person. 3 inches of water covered the player, and shortly after their arrival, rocks began moving. The study showed that the sailing rocks required a rare combination of these events. One, the player fills with enough water to form floating ice during cold winter nights, but shallow enough to expose the rocks. Number two, as overnight temperatures drop, the pond freezes to form thin sheets of windowpane ice. Three, when the sun comes up, the ice begins melting and breaks up into large floating panels. These ice panels, driven by light winds, push the rocks ahead of them, leaving a trail in the soft mud below the surface. When the player dries out months later, the trails become clear. On December 21st, 2013, ice breakup happened just around noon with popping and cracking sounds coming from all over the frozen pond, said Richard Norris. Forget hurricane force winds, the rocks were moved by quarter inch ice panels by light winds of 10 miles per hour. The rocks moved only a few inches per second or a speed deemed imperceptible at a distance without a stationary reference point. It's possible that tourists have actually seen these happening without realizing. It's really tough to gauge that rock is in motion if all the rocks around it are also moving. Lorenz said the last suspected movement previously was in 2006, so rocks may move only 1/1,000,000th of the time, but there is evidence to suggest the frequency of rock movement has declined because of the temperature change. As the mystery of the sliding rocks has finally been solved, Richard Norris replied, we documented 5 movement events in 2.5 months the pond existed, and some involved hundreds of rocks. So we have seen that even in Death Valley, famous for its heat, floating ice is a more powerful force than rock motion. But what we have not really seen is really big boys move out there. Does it work the same way? Do you agree that's like amazing that Death Valley, which as everybody who is aware, is in California, and is basically, the reason it's called Death Valley is because of its sheer heat. That there's nothing there. Yet they have solved this mystery of moving rocks that is actually formed because of ice. I think, I don't know, I'm probably, if everyone's like asleep now, but sitting there like, oh my God, she's so boring. She's talking about moving rocks. But to me, it's like, it's fascinating that, you know, something like that happens. So what do you reckon on this story? a girl on vacation with her family in Arizona, 9 years old, okay, was practicing with an automatic Uzi when she lost control of the gun and killed the instructor. My question is, as a parent, why are you giving a 9-year old a freaking Uzi? We're going to click this story and we're going to have a look at what it says, because to me, I'm all for like people learning how to use guns. Safety, safety, safety. Be trained, be trained. But a 9-year old, it says, a 9-year old.
No, you should let it play.
Okay. I don't know if people are going to be able to hear it or not, though.
And a traffic story was following from Arizona. A firearms instructor has been killed by a 9-year-old girl who was firing a submachine gun.
The instructor was standing next to the girl at an outdoor shooting range. When she pulled the trigger, the recoil sent the gun over her head and a bullet hit the instructor. That girl was at the range with her parents who were visiting the area from New Jersey.
How does a 9-year-old get an Uzi in her hand?
Well, a 9-year-old gets an Uzi in her hand when within the criteria is 8 years old to shoot firearms. We instruct kids as young as 5 and 22 rifles, and they don't get to handle high firearms, but they're under the supervision of their parents and of our professional range masters.
Okay. I'm going to read the article for you as well in case you didn't hear that, but it says, a 9-year-old girl vacation with her family accidentally shot and killed an instructor at a shooting range. The shooting happened at 10 a.m. Monday at Arizona Last Stop, a tourist spot southeast of Las Vegas. According to the sheriff's office, the instructor was standing next to the girl, teaching her how to use an automatic Uzi. The girl's parents stood by, capturing video of the experience. As the girl pulled the trigger, the recoil caused her to lose control of the gun, with it accidentally shooting the instructor in the head. He was flown to University Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. The gun range operator was distraught. It's like losing a brother. They aren't employees or associates of ours. These are family. Many gun ranges allow children who are 8 years and older with parental supervision to shoot firearms. He said, we struck kids as young as 5 on 22 rifles, and they don't get to handle high firearms, but they are under the supervision of their parents. What are your thoughts on that?
Why did she have a gun in the first place? That's my thing. And second, why would they teach 9-year-olds how to shoot a gun?
And an Uzi at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering how the instructor ended up dying. Did it just...
The recoil, the kickback, the girl couldn't control it from what it says, and it just kicked back and shot him. Head, he was standing to her side.
Oh. That was a bad gun to use anyway.
One, as I said, I'm all for parents, you know, teaching their kids about guns. I'm all for that, you know, but I'm also for parents actually using some freaking common sense and not having a 9-year-old with a flipping Uzi.
Exactly.
You know, because these are the same parents who are then complaining about gun violence and their kids are obsessed with guns and stuff.
Exactly.
So, okay, we're going to shock everybody now. This is, like, really shocking news. Breaking news about Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty is not a cat. So I'm going to read you the article.
What's
that? It says, your childhood has been torn asunder by the gods that once gifted you. In preparing a Hello Kitty retrospective for Japanese American National Museum, University of Hawaii anthropologist Christine Arellano was given one major correction by Hello Kitty owner Serino. Hello Kitty is not a cat. She is a cartoon character. She is a little girl. She is a friend, but she is not a cat. She's never depicted on all fours. She walks and sits like a two-legged creature. She does have a pet cat of her own. However, it's called Charmy Kitty. Indeed, after rigorously applying variation of the duck test, it became clear. She only kind of looks like a cat. She doesn't walk like a cat and doesn't talk like a cat, although no one could ever recall her making any noise. She's also, according to Yano, British. I know. The world is at an end because Hello Kitty is not a cat. She's a little girl who depicts a cat. You've just got nothing, do you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see what else other stories are on here. Let's see. But yeah, I mean, I'm still like reeling on the whole 9-year-old.
Yeah, I'm still thrown off that too. It's like, I think the family, no, they can't even sue.
No, because they're the ones who, they're standing by with a flipping video camera recording it.
Wait, it's on video?
They haven't released the video, but it says on there that the family recorded it.
Oh my God. Morons, like, why?
I wish I knew why, but it's like, So everybody knows, if you've like read all the articles, that after Robin Williams died, it came out that he'd actually been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And they're not saying that's the reason why he killed himself. I would just like to point out that when people who do kill themselves, and this is where there was a huge debate on Facebook over it, people who do kill themselves, they don't do it because they want to die. They do it because they want to stop the pain. Regardless of what pain it is, whether it's physically or mentally, they just want to stop that pain. But anyway, there's an article out about, you know, Robin Williams and everything, and I'm just going to read you what it says, and it's from, oh, it's quite a long one. Yeah, we got time for it, though. And it says this, it was like, I'm reading it from the person who wrote it, so it's going to be in first party, but it's not obviously my story. When I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at age 38, I told almost no one at first. My fear of prejudice or pity from friends and co-workers caused me to keep the secret inside for 5 years until I told everyone. For most of the world, the sad news of Robin Williams' suicide followed the surprising report that he had been diagnosed with early stages of Parkinson's disease was a double-barreled shock to our collective conscience. My reaction of my fellow Parkinson's patients to the news has been somewhat more complex. We can't help but be a little grateful that his fame is a shining spotlight on a very real but little discussed aspect of Parkinson's. Yet it brings into focus that the disease is more than just what we publicly acknowledge. Tremors, rigidity, trouble walking, a host of other motor skill problems. Robin Williams' tragic suicide highlights the darker and scarier non-motor symptoms from Parkinson's, such as depression and dementia. Now former Time Warner chairman Jerry Levin has become the latest person to out himself as having Parkinson's. Until now, the most recognized name connected to the disease has been Michael J. Fox. Like Williams, Fox is a lovable celebrity, used his tragedy to create a foundation generating over $450 million for research. Everyone knows that Fox is always a way of seeing the positive, and much of the Parkinson's patient community has adopted his can-do approach. However, the reality is that Fox's infectious optimism doesn't reach everyone. Indeed, the irony of Michael J. Fox outlook is that it creates a false impression that we're all doing well enough. Most of us wear our debilitating and degenerative disease with a smile. It's the unintended effect of softening a sense of urgency and hiding the frustration that the scientific community relies on a 40-year-old drug as the gold standard for treatment. While Williams' depression and other struggles have been widely publicized, no one can point out a single trigger that led to this tragedy. The news of his suicide represents the other extreme end of the spectrum as a possible impact of the disease. That Parkinson's might lead many of us to consider suicide, either because depression is a symptom and contributes to other existing factors and or the sadness and complicated associated with having it may cause. Some in the Parkinson's community may run from the horrifying image of Robin Williams' suicide and devour the disease could never beat us, as if suicide from depression is just a choice we might make because we're not strong enough. We don't want to scare our friends or families into thinking that is also the path we're heading down. So many are already flocking to Fox's optimism and reassuring themselves on social media and in conversations that now more than ever they will keep fighting and we'll find a cure in our lifetime. They will wear the trademark optimism and smile. So I have to ask, at this critical moment, are we losing an opportunity? Shouldn't the patient community own the fact that indeed Parkinson's can cause depression, problems with concentration, fatigue, and other cognitive issues beyond physical impairments? Why are we demonstrating vocal impatience, frustration, and anger at the slow pace of process of finding a cure? What can we learn from the viral success of the ALS Bucket Challenge, helping a population of 30,000 versus the global population of over 5 million who suffer with Parkinson's? William's death was surely not caused by a single factor, yet there is no doubt that depression played a significant role in his tragically premature end. We can and frankly must stay positive and do everything we show that we can lead relatively full life with Parkinson's. But like AIDS patients in the 80s, Parkinson's patients need to be more outspoken and insist on additional resources and efforts to find a cure. The death of Robin Williams may be opportunity to be a little sad, a little mad, and a little less accepting of this disease. And I think that article actually brings up some really good points, and it's not just when it comes to talking about Parkinson's, but it's like any like disease, and they mention like the ALS challenge. My friend who I went to school with, her name's Jed, her husband has a form of ALS. And he's fighting every day, and she's been doing fundraisers and everything to help raise money and all this stuff. But the whole point is that there is other sides to it. We're not always positive about things. There are sides to every issue and everything. You know, those of you who don't know, I have fibromyalgia and MS. There are days, most of the time AJ will tell you, it doesn't really affect me on a day-to-day basis. But there are days where he knows that it does affect me because I'm a bit slower doing things. Or I'll say to him, okay, I'm taking a day off. I'm just not doing anything. He knows then it's not that I need to recharge my brain. I need to let my body recharge. And he knows that there's a very strong possibility in the future that I could, I'm only saying could, end up in a wheelchair. But the whole point is that there are other sides to it other than the physical aspect. There are times when I do wake up and you think to yourself, why me? Why, out of everybody in the world, why do I have to have this? You know, don't I have enough challenges in my life as it is without throwing these things on top? And I think anybody who's diagnosed with any kind of disease, whether it's an illness that can be cured, with such things like cancer, those types of things, where there are cures out there that you can fight for, whether it's them, whether you have a mental disease, whether you have like bipolar, schizophrenia, Parkinson's, anything like that, or whether you have a motor neuron disease, which is technically what my ones are called, if you suffer with something like that, there are other sides to it. There is the severe depression that comes with it that needs to be addressed. There is the why me. Let's be honest, there are times it's like, why me? There's that ugly motherfucker across the street who beats up people. Why hasn't he got it? That's what you think to yourself. There's that sense of worthlessness and, you know, all that lot. And we need to be able to talk about those things to help push it into the forefront so that people understand, okay, I don't like being like this, but it's a symptom of the illness. And we need to help each other. I have friends who were in the armed services, who are baby lost parents, who are abuse survivors, all suffering with PTSD. And you know, those people who are suffering with PTSD and everything, we've just seen a picture. If you hear AJ giggling, just bear with us because there's a picture he's looking at that's like, oh my, yeah. But
we'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah. But part of those side effects are also, you know, depression and worthlessness and all this lot. And it's not something that you want to deal with. And this is the thing that really irks me, okay, when it comes to, like, a lot of mental illness. See, I'm going, like, way away from the physical thing, but we're going on to the mental thing. Is when you have, say, for example, you've got somebody who comes back from the war, or you've got an abuse survivor, and somebody says, well, you survived, you're still with us, what's there to be sad about?
There's more in there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you can't turn off your mind.
That's right.
I know in your case, you have flashbacks to being that little kid in that situation where you can't do anything about it.
No.
I'm sure that there are people who come back from the war and everything who, you know, close their eyes sometimes of a night time and all they see are those images in their head. Or there's a smell. There's a noise. There's something that brings everything flooding back to them and hits you like a sack of shit across the head. That's the only way I'm being blunt here. That's the only way I can put it. And, you know, we mentioned about when Robin Williams did kill himself that maybe this is as tragic as it is. You saw this man who spent his life making people smile and making people laugh. He was fighting his own demons. Everybody is. Let this be a lesson to us all to not just take what you see at face value. There's a reason why there are a lot of people out there, and I do it myself, will make jokes about ourselves, will laugh about stupid things, but it doesn't always mean that we're smiling. You know, but hopefully, you know, people will listen and not run away from mental illness. You know, it is a real condition. There's a reason why some people can't work because of it and they're on disability. Trust me, I can say for a fact that I don't want to blast him out there, but there is a certain person who I know who suffers tremendously with PTSD, who I know would love to be going to work every day, earning a check and coming home to his family at the end of the day. He would love to not every day be facing these struggles upon struggle upon struggle. And hopefully one day, you know, things will change, people's attitudes will change, and things will be a bit different. But for now, we are going to put on another song, and we will be right back.
Tommy, come take out the garbage.
In a minute, Mom. Hello?
You're
what?
Missing it.
Get down here right now.
Where are you?
We're in the tunnel.
You have 5 minutes.
Get down here right now.
Okay.
Hurry.
My life is now or never. I ain't gonna live for it. red. And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the president ought to fix it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hard to sneak in out. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time I'd better face it you. Criminal record says I'm broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Life's better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me.
Packers, they wore a full denim at the luncheon that they had today.
And we're on about full denim here. We're not just on about, we're on about denim jeans, denim jackets, denim shirts, and denim hats.
Like, denim is cool, but just...
There's too much!
No, no, it's like Aaron Rodgers with the hat and Matt Flint with the hat.
Well, the thing
hat.
Is,
like,
is the hat's a fedora. Aaron Rodgers is wearing a fedora hat, and Matt Flynn is wearing, like, a golf hat type thing. I got nothing. I seriously have nothing.
This is where they came from, the south or something.
I don't know where they came from.
But, they did a comparison of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake when they wore denim around the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards.
That was just too funny.
So
I'm
they
sad.
Did, and they did a comparison of the two.
This is too funny.
I'm just going to share it on my page, on my wall.
Tag me in it. But seriously, we're talking about fashion and stuff here. What do you think was the worst in your, what you consider in your generation, what is the worst fashion statement that was made?
Don't never wear tight jeans.
Skinny jeans on men.
In the 90s, it started not being so cool.
Put skinny jeans on men, period. It looks wrong. I'm sorry. How are you going to stick your ball sack into that? Into skinny jeans.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't do it.
And then it's funny because what was actually really hilarious is that AJ's got a cousin called Anthony who used to come over from time to time. And he showed up one day, didn't he, wearing skinny jeans. And he gave those skinny jeans to Robert, who, when Robert wore them, fitted in perfectly, like regular jeans, did they? And we kid you not, we just couldn't stop laughing over it. It just looks stupid, let's be honest.
Yes, well.
For me, the worst thing for my generation was the back-combed hair with the, like, 10 pounds of hairspray on top. And the neon clothing.
Okay, how about the comb over that doesn't have that much hair right
there?
Oh
my god, like the three strands?
Yeah.
Or the Donald Trump?
Well, at least he does have hair, but he shouldn't have that comb over.
My thing is that if you've got haven't got much hair, do it with style. Shave the lot off. Do you know what I mean? Don't try and make it look worse. You might just as well get a spray can.
Because you're going to want them to. They already got the Chris Paul, and the newest ones are about to be out soon. Don't mind the group, but let's see, anything you want to add before I go on?
No, you go on.
Okay. I'm going to talk about the arena that they want it to be done, well, the podcast.
What they're actually saying as well is that they want where it's going to be built and the plans done by the new year, because they want to be able to go forward with getting the permits and everything, because I think people don't realize the sheer scale of the project, and it's going to take time to get a lot of things done. So that's where they're going.
Alright, the timetable to meet the ambitious goal of Milwaukee Bucks owner Mark Larcy and Wes L. Enders have to begin construction of their new multi-purpose arena next spring in downtown Milwaukee. Really begins when the legislature returns in late January. That's the assessment of Timothy Sheen, the president of Metropolitan and Milwaukee Association of Mayors. An MAC working group, because the region's top business leaders have been meeting for several months with the Phoenix Inc. company, a developed company with the sports business subsidiary, to develop a finance strategy to pay for the arena. So, because they already got like $200 million for the arena so far, but they want like a drawing of the arena built so they can know what will be the cost of it. But they just thinking that it probably be anywhere between 400 and 500 million. And whatever they say, they hope they can get the new arena built, starting building next spring, maybe it'd be done within a year. Who knows?
But the other thing, I doubt it'd be done within a year. I think within 2 years.
That's possible.
And because you've got to remember our winters can put a halt to a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
My thing is in regards to this is that I think if they've got the better part of the money sorted out, they could actually get started.
Right. Oh, they actually got a total of $250 million, I think. Oh, okay. Timothy Sheen, the president of MMAC, will donate $50 million more as a private investment for the on sale. So now they got $250 million on the table.
And I'm sure that there's a lot of deals behind the scenes that we're not hearing about. Do you know what I mean? That are like, well, we were willing to do this, 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 and this, mm-hmm. then.
Of course, I'm hoping when they do the arena, it'll bring like more stuff in here. Like,
one, it's going to bring a shitload of jobs. Let's be perfectly frank mm-hmm. about it. Because if you think about the hotel that's just opened next to Pottawatomie, that's for a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it is.
This is going to do the same thing.
Exactly. Because I know right now they are building hotels in the area.
Yep.
Because they got to get this started real soon. They want mm-hmm. because they need to. If there's no NBA play here in 2018, of course the team's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
If they're not, you know.
But I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. I really don't. I think what it is that we're only hearing a certain amount of the story that's going on. We're not hearing all the negotiations. And I'm betting you they're just finalizing the deal now on the land of where it's going to be built. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So if the private side can get to $300 million and this revenue source will deliver another $90 million, if the cost of the arena is $500 million, you are $110 million away. If it's $400 million, you are closer to a solution.
I think they're a lot closer than they're saying. I really do. I don't think they're just going to, you know.
Oh, and like the mayor said, he wanted as close as Wisconsin Avenue as possible. So that got me thinking that they might end up doing that parking lot.
And that's where I think they're going for, you know what I mean? But as I say, we will see.
Oh, wait a minute. That's what I'm thinking, but just the other way they're saying they could use that empty area like a block or two away from the Bradley Center going north.
Either way, I think they're a lot closer to a decision than what we're actually hearing, because if you remember when it came to the selling of the team and everything, they kept saying, okay, you know, we haven't found a buyer, we haven't found a buyer, we haven't found a buyer, we haven't found a buyer. By the way, news announcement, we're going to have a press conference tomorrow.
I think the thing was they know they had potential buyers, like they had Yao Ming, but the thing is he wanted to move the team.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that, I'm saying that we're not hearing everything. They're not going to put everything out there.
Until they're 100%
yeah.
sure, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Let's see what else it says. They still thinking tear down the BMO Harris Bradley Center just to open like for business and get more space to develop like just random stuff. So it would be interesting to see what's going to happen.
Either way, the whole structure of downtown is going to change. Whichever way you look at it, it's going to change. I mean, it is already now. But, you know, it's going to happen more and more.
One thing I can say is about time. This is like, probably ever since you started moving here, they started changing because it's like in the 90s, when it came to downtown. It was just like stores in the downtown area were just been pooping, 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 and gone. And it's like ever since, although it is the long time, ever since 2000, they've been trying to develop stuff around here.
But what doesn't help is you've got snobby people who live down there who say, we don't want all these stores opening because it's going to bring in hooligans and riffraff. Well,
exactly.
Stop them complaining that storefronts are empty. Let people bring in businesses and everything, you know?
Exactly. Or just move away and let the people that won't mind it move in.
Well, that's the whole point as well, is you've got all these people who live in the downtown area complaining that there's nothing downtown, yet when they try to bring things downtown, they're the first ones complaining about it.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to progress. You can't have it both ways. You really can't. I can understand people were getting upset about Silk possibly opening a strip club down there.
Oh, yeah, right next to the that apartment building.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, but there's other things that, you know, like Target was going to open up in the Grand. And that got vetoed because people said it was bringing down the area. Have you seen downtown? Seriously.
Downtown's already been bringed down ever since the 90s. They just needed to add more stuff. I'm thankful that TJ Maxx is there, but they need more. I know they're trying to open up different stores in the Grand. I know they opened a couple recently.
Pimps R Us is there. And Dress Your House, she's on the go.
They just need...
They
more.
Need more.
Yeah, they do.
Anyhow, on that note, we're going to play another song. And we're coming up to having like 10 minutes left in the show, so we're just going to play another song. Let me find a good one. Oh, we'll do this. This is one of my favorites. And we'll be back shortly.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's time to change, since the return of a stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June,
5 minutes left. Tell us about the shows that are coming up.
Tomorrow you have the Smarts List with Chris and Rainey. They're already saying something stupid to each other. It's just funny. But check that out. 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And also don't forget about our show, WFSO Aftermath, Mondays at 10:30 p.m. Central Time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, whenever there's going to be like a pay-per-view or somewhat, we're going to do like a show after the pay-per-view. So just look out for that. And check out the website, WrestlingSpeakOut.com.
Also check out my website, mattismemory.weebly.com and tinyturtledoulaservice.weebly.com. We are on Facebook. We're actually going to start next week with our campaign for October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. We're doing something big for WFSO, for Maddie's Memory. We're going to make it a combined effort to publicize both causes. But more of that will come next week. If you're following me on Maddie's Memory on Facebook, you'll actually see part of what we're doing, but there's going to be more to come. So we're going to leave you with one of AJ's favorite songs. And you're going to catch us all Monday night at 10:30 after Monday Night Raw. And you're going to catch me next Wednesday. So until then, this is me and AJ saying good night, God bless, and sleep tight.
Good night.
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stress in my mind. I look for peace, but see I don't attain what I need to keep this silly game we play. Now look at this, madness magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. Cause day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. Within his dreams he sees the life he made. The pain is deep, a silent sleeper, you won't hear a peep deep. The girl he wants don't seem to want him to. It seems the feelings that she had her through. Cause day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone, some things will never change.
Yeah.
The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night.
Slow-mo. When the temple flows up and creates that new. He seems alive though he is feeling blue. The sun is shining, man, he's super cool. The lonely nights, they fade away, he slips into his white Nikes. He smokes a clip and then he's on the way. To free his mind and searcher, to free his mind and searcher, to free his mind and searcher.
Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his